great blessing when we have opportunity to assemble together with those of like precious faith and to be able to open up the book of books, the Bible, and study from its contents. I never tire of learning about the Bible, do you? It doesn't matter what the topic is, we can always stand to benefit something from it. Even if it's something that we've heard maybe numerous times, I know the case is with me. I'll hear someone do a sermon on a particular topic, and when I think, well, I've got a pretty good handle on that, they bring out a point that I think, how did I miss it? And so that just adds to our growth, growing the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I think we finished, and satisfactorily anyway, we kind of went in a hurry, I think, but still we should have a good handle on authority as we finished up the four lessons in the little packet that I gave you last week. If Seal's filling up to it, he may teach next week. I know that was his aim to teach this quarter, but of course with the procedures he's had on his eye, just not able to do that. And so we'll fill in for him if we need to do that. But I want us to think about two words that's very important for us to understand when we think about being a child of God. And you can see this in just about every aspect of our lives as a Christian. It's a word. I'm going to put two words on the board, but the word that I want us to focus on is found 99 times in the Bible, if you use the King James Version. If I were to ask you, how important is it for us to be ready? What would you say? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most important. It's 10. We need to be ready, and there's a lot of things in which we need to be ready for. Now, most of the time when we think about being ready, we probably, first of all, think about what? Think about being ready for the judgment, for the Lord's return. And so, be ready for our earthly pilgrimage to be over. There's a number of things that we need to be ready for. I've got several listed down that we could go through, but I'll just begin with one, and then if you have one, you say that, and we'll talk about it some. The importance of being ready. The first one I want you to think about is found in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and in verse 16. He talks about the gospel in verse 16. Verse 15, what does he say? Think about being ready. What does he say in verse 15, Romans 1:15? We're familiar with verse 16. But here's why Paul mentions the gospel in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Because what he says in verse 15.
So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome.
Good. He's writing to the saints, the brethren, living people, not dead people, in the city of Rome. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. And so he says, as much as in me is. You use King James Version, it's a different rendering, meaning the same thing. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So the Bible puts a lot of emphasis on being ready to preach the gospel. I wonder why we need to be ready to preach the gospel. Give me some reasons why we must be ready to preach the gospel to others.
Wrong teaching.
Because of, say it again.
Error of teaching.
Because of error? Got to give an answer. For the hope that lies in us with meekness and with fear. So we need to be eager and ready to preach the gospel because we do have to give an answer to those that ask us why we believe what we believe. I mentioned to you recently, and it bears repeating, that we're very good at knowing what we believe, but not as good at knowing why we believe it, and really not even as good as that of being able to give us thus saith the Lord. Put our finger on it. And we just always need to strive to do that. But that's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3 verse 15. Because of error, why else preach the gospel? We talk about being ready. And Paul said, I'm ready.
You got lost souls.
Because of the loss. Can you think of a passage that talks about the need to preach the gospel and relates that to lost people or sin? verse 16, when he gives the reason, introduces the reason by using the word for. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and here's the reason. Why? What's the rest of that? For it is the power of God to save. Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentiles. So as long as there's lost people, people in need of the soul saving message, then we need to be busy about preaching the gospel. Why else? What do you suppose Paul meant when he said the righteousness of God is revealed? Verse 17.
It teaches us how to live right without God.
Okay.
It tells us how we can have our sins forgiven. Basically, how our sins can be forgiven, how we can be made righteous before
good.
God.
Good. I agree with you. That's the idea behind that. Of course, the Jews knew the characteristics of God from the Old Testament Scriptures. I mean, we can learn from the Old Testament Scriptures how God dealt with sin and how God was merciful and all those things that we talked about on Sunday morning, Wonderful Words of Life, when we talked about the mercy of God and so forth. But how men are right with God, how are we made right in the sight of God? It is made known, not under the Old Testament law of Moses, but in what? In the gospel. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Why else preach the gospel? How about the faith? Don't ever overlook this. He said to them. He commanded the apostles to go forth and to preach the gospel. Where is that at? On 16:15, go preach the gospel to every creature. Well, the reason is so the righteousness of God would be seen, that the lost would be saved. They had to be able to answer, refute religious error. He said so. If there was no other reason, if that would be good enough, because he said so. One other point, we'll move on. Because of the standard, the fact that the gospel is going to be the standard come the judgment day. Revelation 20, 12 through 15, the books were open. Remember that John saw the dead, small and the great, stand before him that was on the throne. And the books were open, and the dead were judged out of what? The things written in the books. Someone said, I've heard folks say, well, that's the books of, it's a record of their life. Well, when you look at Romans chapter 2 and then verse 16, in light of Revelation 22, you think about what the Lord said in John 12, verse 48. What's the standard by which we're going to be judged? Yeah, this is the standard, and we'll receive a reward according to the works done in the body, whether they be good or bad. But this is the standard that tells us, have I done right, have I done wrong? Not based upon what I think or feel about it, but what the standard says about it. So we need to be ready to preach the gospel. But as you think about being ready, there's a lot of other things you could think about. I want to give you this one because this one is imperative if we're going to be able to do this one. By the way, who in the room, minus the children, who in the room are commanded or obligated, duty-bound to teach other people? Thank you. I thought that's just what the preacher did. All of us are duty-bound to preach the gospel to others, to teach the gospel to others. Now we know that there are restrictions placed upon that, upon the setting in which a woman can teach. We understand that. As Paul would write to Timothy in 1 Timothy, talk about that. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence.
He also said, Donnie, in 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, and continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and others.
Good job. Good. Where was you going to put that at, Mark?
At 4. Number 4.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
Yeah, good job.
Teach.
Where is that at again, Mark?
1 Timothy 4:16.
16? Good. So take an oath, write that down. In doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. But if we're going to be able to do that, then I've got to be ready to studying. You've got to answer for yourself. All of us do. You're not responsible for me. I'm not responsible for you regarding this. But do we study as we should? Someone said, well, I don't study. Then we're neglecting to do what God says to do. And if we're not studying enough, then we need to kind of change things so that we can study as we should. What's the passage that comes to mind?
2 Timothy 2:15.
What does he say, Mark?
Study to show thyself approved, workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God.
You will not rightly divide or handle aright the word of truth, except you give diligence to do that. King James Version says study. It's a word that means to give diligence. It takes effort to do that. I think about the beautiful statement that is in the book of Psalm 1. Really, the entire Psalm, specifically 1 and 2, is he contrasts a blessed man with a man that's not blessed. And he says, blessed is the man that what? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Stands in the way of sinners. Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, that his is in reference to who? The blessed man. But his delight is in what, Mark?
Law of the Lord.
In the law of the Lord. And he just haphazardly dwells in it, meditates upon it, ever so often. Well, that would describe a whole lot of folks today. I'm not talking about you, but so we have to answer for ourselves. Just every once in a while.
Meditates
day and night. Day and night. Meditate. So if you want to be a blessed man, I want to be a blessed man, don't you? Then I need to meditate upon the Word of God day in and day out on a continual basis. Now, he says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. But the blessed man, he talks about in that passage, is likened unto what? It's here it is springtime, and we see trees budding and blooming.
By the river.
Tree planted by the river. Leaf will never wither. And I love this statement here. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you want to be likened unto a tree planted by the river? And that whatever you do, it'll prosper? Then let's get in the book. So we're never going to be like the blessed man of Psalm 1, 1 and 2. We're never going to be in a position to be ready to preach or teach the gospel to others except we study the Word of God. See how important that is for us to do that? I appreciate the fact that we have Bible classes here and gospel meetings coming up. You need to avail yourself of every opportunity to learn the truth. So we need to be ready to preach, ready to study. What else would you say we need to be ready for? We need to be ready. So as much as in me is, I am ready. To what? What about this? I am ready to assemble with the saints. Are you ready to do that? How often do folks today think that this is just unimportant? Well, I'll just go if I want to, and if I miss, well, that's okay. I'll just go next Sunday. I know you're familiar with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. But you know what says the context of verse 25? Can we go back to verse 24? Whoever said that, was that you, Rose? Someone read, Bernice, read verse 24 for us. Which sets the table for why he makes the statement in verse 25.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the word of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Someone said, well, why is it important that I go? Because I need to be considerate of other people. And as I consider other people, I need to go and make sure that on a continual basis I'm assembling together with the saints so that I can consider or stir up to provoke unto love and good works. Love, by the way, is action. But it's not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth, Peter penned. And our love is demonstrated as we love one another. If any man have seeth his brother have need and has this world's goods and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Love is action. It's demonstrated toward others. It was with God. He commendeth his love toward us. That means he demonstrated it through the giving of his Son. Romans 5:8. Jesus demonstrated his love when he laid down his life for us. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. And so we demonstrate ours to God by what? How do we demonstrate our love toward God?
Being obedient.
Being obedient. How do I know that?
He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
If you love me, you keep my commandments. That great one of the divine stipulations. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. And so, it's demonstrated, but I assemble because he said not to forsake it. We don't forsake it individually. We don't forsake it by just stopping. It's a great lesson to be learned in that over the last couple of years, I'm telling you. A lot of folks said, just stop. Don't just stop. That's the very thing he said, don't do. You see that point? Keep doing it. Well, the assembly was on a continual basis. When the church comes together, don't forsake that.
Exactly. So now, if I forsake tonight, if I don't come tonight, well, I'm not accepting the excuse.
Come to every service of the church that you possibly can. That's what I would say. Someone says sometimes, what does forsake mean? Well, he sheds light on that in verse 26. When he says this, for if we sin willfully, that's what it is. Don't willfully absent yourself from the assembling of the saints. Don't do that. Consider why. Why is it important? Because I need to consider. To provoke unto love and to good works. How encouraging do you think it is to other people for you to be here individually? What if Lo and Barb just showed up tonight? They were the only ones. How encouraged would they be? That's why it's important, because we gain strength, we are encouraged, we are built up, we are edified by doing the very thing that he says to do. So don't willfully absent yourself from the assembly. We understand there's times when we want to, and our body says no, and our mind says I want to, but you can't, something happens or whatever. We understand. Why else? Not just simply because he said it. But then this gives more references in John chapter 4 and in verse 24, because of what we do when we get here outside of provoking unto love and to good works and encouraging one another. But because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him. Now that's a command, must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's really a direct statement, but you get the point. Must worship him in spirit and truth. There's the word must is one of the strongest words in the English language. It's an imperative. We must do it with the right attitude and according to revealed truth. But if I don't come, then what am I doing? You see, I'm failing to be edified by the Word of God. That's what the Word of God does. Now, brethren, I commend you unto God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up, give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Acts 20, verse 32. So I fail to do that. I fail to remember the Lord's death when He said, this do in remembrance me. So I absent myself from doing that, 1 Corinthians 11. I absent myself from giving as God prospered me, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. I fail to sing praise unto God as I teach and admonish you, because I wasn't here to do that. Ephesians 5:19. And I fail to render unto God prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And so there's a lot more involved in it when I just say I'm not going to come. And hopefully I'm talking to a room full of people that already understand that. But we need to be ready. That's what we're talking about. Be ready to study, be ready to assemble. Number four, be ready to.
Brother Donald, being ready to assemble begins before we assemble. Us being ready begins at home. For us to be here on time, for us to be in the right mindset.
Good.
For us to be ready.
Good. I like that. It's a good thought. Everybody here, Lord, it's being ready to accept begins at home. Get yourself up being ready with the right frame of mind and realizing where you're going and why you're going and what you're going to do when you get there.
Well, it kind of like starts today, Sunday. We're making preparations to come back Sunday. So it kind of starts from one time till the next.
If you're ready, embedded in that, and being ready is being prepared. Prepared to do all of these. What else? No, I've got a sheet front and back full of them. But here for you. What? Be ready to think of all the things that the Bible tells us to do. Do we need to be ready for it? Yes or no? Then give me a point.
Ready to pray.
Ready to pray. What would you back that up with?
In season, out season. Pray without ceasing.
Good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. It's a direct command. Pray without ceasing. So I need to be ready to do that. And that necessitates that what? I did a sermon on it, I guess, some point, months ago. Lord, the disciples upon one occasion came to the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. So there you go again. Preparation, being ready. Need to know how to pray. What to pray for. So, where do I find that at? In the Bible. The Bible tells us how to pray. Philippians chapter 4 and then verse 6. A lot of other passages talk about prayer. I about a passage in James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one toward another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. I want the righteous to pray for me because I know that the scriptures say that it avails. It prospers. So I need to pray. Be ready to do that. Number 5.
Be ready to eat spiritually. Be ready to feed ourselves. Acts 20 and verse 28, the instructions given to the elders to oversee the flock and to feed them. We need to be good sheep of the flock and be ready to be fed, be in the right frame of mind and have the desire and the eagerness that we're commanded to have, be zealous eaters.
Good. And desire that. As newborn babes, this passage came to mind as Mark was saying that, as newborn babes, what are we to do?
Desire.
The sincere milk of the Word. I wonder why on earth I need to do that.
So my brother,
that he told us. He takes the guesswork out of it, as Ray pointed out, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. First
Timothy chapter 2, I think, was the desire to grow. Is that right?
Say that again, Mark.
1 Peter 2, 1 and 2.
Yeah, that's 2 and 3 is what I just mentioned here. You're right. That's where it is.
Right.
You're talking about when they were hindered growth? Is that what you said?
Oh, that you may grow desiring the pure milk of the Word. 1 Peter 2, verse 2.
Good job. Good. A failure to do that. A failure to do what God... And by the way, add to your faith virtue... And to virtue, knowledge. Well, and all through, it talks about knowledge, and the Bible many times talks about knowledge. But why on earth do they? I need to grow so that I can be strong. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, if you want to add it on here. But a failure to do that stunts our spiritual growth. Can you think of a passage in the New Testament that talks about that very thing? Or when for the time?
Ephesians 4:15 or 4:14-15. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the Head.
Good job. We need to be able to feed on the Word, need to be able to grow. Add that knowledge so that we're not like a child tossed to and fro. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and following. How important that is to be ready to feed upon the Word of God, to increase in our knowledge. Does everybody have that? If you're taking notes, number six. We need to be ready. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to... Oh, that's a good, real good one. What would you base that on? I'm ready to obey. I wish more people today would be ready to obey, don't you? I wish when we had visitors and we extend the invitation, that folks would... I was talking to a gospel preacher that I got one of his sermons back in the 90s, and he mentioned it, and he held a meeting. There was 300-some people there, and I was recently talking to him about that, and his memories are so vivid about it. And he's like, we extended the invitation one night, and they just started coming from everywhere. We baptized 20-something that night. Don't you wish people would do that today? This is what we need. But we also need people to preach to. The seed has to be sown in the hearts, minds, of honest to good people. They went, obey. Think of all the passages about obedience.
Acts 5:29 is one where
we ought to
obey God rather than men.
Obey God rather than men. You just go on with some of those
passages. Colossians 3:22. Be with bond service, obey in all things.
Obey, obedience. Want to go to heaven? You've got to do the will of the Father who is in heaven. Be ready to obey. We've got three minutes. You just keep on going with all this scripture is about obedience. Revelation 22:14 and Hebrews 5:8-9. So as much as in me is, I am ready to
put on the full armor of
God.
Got
that one? Preach. Say it again.
Put on the full armor of God.
Yeah, to suit up. Put on the full armor of God, right, Bill?
Yeah.
Where's that at?
Ephesians 6.
Good. Ephesians 6. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. It's a spiritual warfare. I think about that passage over in the book of Isaiah chapter 2 when he's talking about the establishment of the Lord's house, the church. They shall beat their swords into place. So, yeah. No, it's not going to be a carnal weaponry. So we're not in a physical kingdom fighting physical battles, but a spiritual kingdom. This is our weapon, by the way. How important. Could you imagine a man signing up to go to the military? And they accept him in. And they train everybody, give everybody else really good training. They just hand him his weapon and they say, listen, it's wartime, boys. And they send him off and he never shot it before. Mark, would that work? Mark knows something about that. I wouldn't want to be in that position either. But if we're going to be effective in using and defeating the enemy, then we've got to know something about our weaponry. And the weapon of a Christian is the Word, the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6, it points out. In Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12, for the Word of God is sharper and quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, and then verse 12. You may want to add one to this when our time is, as usual, swiftly passes. We got about a minute.
1 Peter 3:15 talks about having the Word in your heart. You have to have it in your heart to be able to access it and use it.
Good. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, the Psalms declare, that I might not sin against thee. Good. Any other points? Now, briefly, I tell you what's important. Now, I'm thankful I have a preacher friend of mine that is constantly, it seems like, sending me texts and saying, what would be some points concerning this? I tell you what's, as we close, what is beneficial to this. This is how you put together a sermon here. Sometimes we make sermon preparation more difficult than it is, but that's exactly how you put together a sermon. You start with your title and you Let's go down the list. Have at least a couple of references on each point. Doesn't have to be any more difficult than that. But we learn from things like that. You participated in that. Gave all the points just about tonight. Came from you. So I appreciate sessions like that, studies like this, when we think about topics like being ready and the importance of doing that. Someone's getting ready to offer the invitation just a moment. Be ready, as Ray pointed out. Obey. Any thoughts, comments, questions?
All those things make you ready for the judgment.
That's all of them make you ready for the judgment. We didn't even talk about the judgment. Good points. I really appreciate your good attention. Any other thoughts or comments? Questions? Thanks for your good attention.